Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
What do you say we go back to the Sony well for this episode's topic?
Why?
For the clicks.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, everybody. I am Chris from Shaghead Gaming. This is Ryan from the VR Grid.
What's going on?
And this is episode 33 of the Virtual Boys podcast. Thanks for joining us, guys. Like we said in the opening there, we are totally going back to the Sony well because of clicks. No, we're not. There's actually a topic here that we wanted to take a deep dive on because we just glazed on it over last week's episode and in our own private.
We glazed over it. Glazing on it sounds like something totally different.
That's just inappropriate.
You said it.
This is a family-friendly channel, Ryan. Get your shit together.
Are we 30 seconds in? Fuck
Get your shit together. I thought we weren't swearing. I thought we talked about this.
Sorry. We had
patrons that told us to watch our language.
No, he's a YouTube subscriber.
Oh, yeah. Screw you then. Until you pay your $10. Okay. Anyway, now that we're back on topic, we wanted to take a little bit of a further dive into the conversation around Sony's plans for software support for PSVR 2. And just to refresh everybody's minds around that, Sony's take on this was that they wanted to see more of a focus on premier VR titles moving away from experiences and putting, it sounds like, significant pressure, emphasis, however you want to say this, onto developers and publishers to release what they called hybrid titles. So basically, let's say the new God of War comes out, they would like to see it have VR support just as kind of part of that release schedule. And I think there's a discussion there around whether that's the right move, wrong move, and also just what that could mean for, say, the PSVR 2 storefront moving forward. And just also, there's been conversations on Twitter, which is kind of why I want to talk about this more, around just, is it good for VR as far as like the evolution of VR and getting better next level experiences and not just the VR port of another game?
Yes. Podcast over. No. No, I totally agree with that. There is a definite conversation here because what we've seen over the last 2 years, especially with the Quest 2 being as popular as it has been, is a shift from the AAA. Now that term is, you know, you don't really agree with that term, and it's used very broadly to describe like bigger games, but we've definitely seen that shift. Ahead of, you know, this will be an episode we talk about very soon here, but ahead of the Lone Echo 2 release, we've basically seen Oculus back away completely from those bigger titles that run on bigger hardware, you know, computers. And
bigger hardware.
I know, right? My words are just out to lunch here right now.
Better, gooder, bigger hardware.
Right.
Runs fast.
I don't know. I have an education, I swear. We've seen stuff on the Sony side definitely not being once again, AAA, most recently we just got Arashi, which me and you both played and enjoyed, which we'll bring up in this conversation.
Yep.
But it's not, you know, both of us can agree with Arashi. It was great. It was fun. But it had a lot of rough edges, definitely kind of rocking the line between what we know of to be like AA and AAA VR, right?
Yeah, just to back that up, though, guys, what Ryan and I were having a conversation earlier today, and Ryan kind of touched on it, the fact that I don't love the term AAA when it comes to VR. Because I feel like the VR scene kind of has its own classifications in some ways. I mean, obviously, AAA is always going to be real, like true AAA. But in the VR scene, if you had to give a AAA status and a AA status, it's like, you know, like Blood and
Truth. There's only one AAA game minus driving games.
I'm just saying, but like in the VR scene, like games like Half-Life Alyx and Lone Echo, yeah, and, you know, Blood and Truth and Astrobot, these are AAA VR games. They are. So then what's AA? I'm just saying, if you're working within that, in that kind of game base, then what does AA mean? Like, what does that mean? And that's when you and I were saying, like, you know, that maybe, the heck is the game called we just reviewed today?
Arashi?
Arashi. I don't know why I wanted to call it Arashi. Arashi reminded both of us a little bit of Immortal Legacy. Actually, yeah. More than a little bit.
A lot. Minus the fact that it's a genre switch, it felt totally like the same kind of game where you see these glimpses of a bigger game, but it, you know, because it's a smaller studio, an independent studio, it just doesn't quite have, you know, they don't have the time or the manpower to just polish this thing till it's like
and fleshed out, but also quite gorgeous. Like
at moments,
definitely some moments in there for sure. Right. Both games definitely feeling like made for VR games, but just didn't quite stick the landing to have that polish of coming from like a published Sony game, but almost feeling like it was. I mean, Immortal Legacy was, but it didn't feel like a Sony published title. That was a bit of an odd one. But
no, and that's because it was part of that that program there that was giving money to smaller Asian developers to produce those titles. So that's kind of how they got around that one. Was it was Sony published, but not really. Because it's on PC. I'm positive it's on PC
as well.
It made
it there now, yeah, finally.
Yeah. And I'll save that for a bit, I guess. So
I kind of cut you off there, but we were just kind of talking about, I guess, where the game industry kind of is, and the fact that you said that there's been a real pull away from AAA on Oculus's part.
And even on Sony's part. I mean, we've definitely seen the releases on PSVR, especially this year and even into last year. It's been slow. It's been slow. You know, we were seeing 3 to 4 games a week, and you know, we're talking about, you know, a fair amount of like indie mediocrity. That seems to have gone the wayside. And I think just kind of realizing today talking to you is that, you know, Sony's talking about, you know, they want these bigger, you know, we're moving away from experiences. We want bigger, full VR, you know, games made for VR. And I think we're even seeing that now in their transitional phase, because we're not seeing a lot of like indie garbage on PlayStation right now. It still comes. There's still some trickles here and there of some stuff that's like, you know, it's, you know, a 6 out of 10, like that's a perfectly fine game. But you know, with Arashi, Synth Riders, Fract on the way, we've definitely seen this kind of like this push for quality over quantity on Sony VR side.
Maybe, and I hope that's the case, but I actually just listening to you, I wonder if, let's just put our heads into the space of an indie developer. We got limited money, limited time, limited crew, limited resources, period. And we really want to make this VR title. We want to put that out there because it's like probably a passion project. Well, you know, you're probably developing it on PC and you don't think you're going to make a lot of money on there. And so I think a lot of times that's where developers looked at trying to get it onto the PSVR store. And so we saw some of those smaller indie titles. Well, now you've got like SideQuest and App Lab. And it's like, I'm going to guess that's like the Wild West for putting titles out there. Like you just don't have to deal with Sony's Q&A. So my point is, I think some of the titles that we might have seen on the PSVR have probably ended up on App Lab and SideQuest just because they're easier storefronts to get onto. And probably a little more forgiving too, just because people kind of, I think, expect that there's a little more work in progress titles there.
Oh yeah, when it's, you know, you can call it whatever you want, but it's the early access.
It is.
So it, yeah.
Well,
it
it's not always. There are some titles on there that are done.
It's not for sure, 100%. But I think outside looking in, it's the early access store. I mean, or you know, it's stuff that, you know, admittedly, you know, Crisis Brigade, To the Top, all these games that were finished, polished games that we liked, didn't make Oculus's cut, so they kind of get thrown over there. And if you know what they are, then it's like, man, what a shame. How come you're missing it? But if you didn't know, if you only ever bought a Quest, then as far as you know, those didn't make Oculus's cut. So it sounds like a lesser tier product.
Oh, they totally did. And they did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even a secret that they didn't make the cut for Oculus's store. Like Oculus is being way pickier than Sony,
which is crazy because I've played some trash on the Quest from the Oculus store. So you tell me, like, To the Top doesn't belong there. Crisis Brigade doesn't belong there. Crisis Brigade was made for the Quest. Untethered? Are you kidding me?
Now, I never played To the Top on the Quest. I mean, maybe it was a disaster on the Quest.
I don't play side-loaded crap.
I don't typically.
Because I don't either.
Really play early access. It's just, I don't have time to play unfinished games. I know you're kind of in the same way, and I definitely don't often have the time to review said titles, unless it's something like
keep in mind we're also revisiting, right? These are games we played years ago, so to go back and play them again, sure, it's cool they're on the Quest, but like I did my time with those games, so to go back in there and be like, yep, still works, isn't really worth my time, I guess. That's
I don't have the time.
Yeah,
I definitely don't have the time to cover, and I often don't have the time to play it. I'd rather just revisit your title or visit it for the first time and just like get the full experience instead of get a PC idea. There's the odd game like VR Skater. That game looks so polished, and it was just, I was like, hell yeah, that looks awesome. That looks fun.
Yeah.
There's exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, And so I think, but like looking at the Oculus situation with App Lab and SideQuest and the way that they've curated their store, I think that for you guys waiting to see where we're going with this, that's kind of the jumping off point here, is that I feel like Sony might have quietly kind of put a flag in the ground in their comment when they said, like, we're moving away from experiences and we want like more full featured VR games. And then they talked about hybrid games, you know, from like big releases, flat releases, getting VR support as well. Now, one could argue, well, Sony said the same crap on the PSVR. You know, we were supposed to get Ace Combat and Gran Turismo. And I remember Ark was mentioned there. And there was a lot of pie in the sky that never came to be. I don't hear that from Sony this time, because I feel like they've probably learned that lesson. And if they're putting that out there, at least that's... there's probably some real intentions there and some discussions. They're also not dropping titles. But the point here, everyone, is that what we're kind of batting around in this episode is that if Sony is kind of taking a stance where they're like, we don't want to kind of like have this headset be kind of cluttered with experiences when I hear that, I think of like just not awesome VR titles, just underdeveloped ideas and kind of like shittier games. And that sometimes means indie. That's definitely looking at the indie scene a little bit to a certain degree. And I guess our point is, and what we were kind of talking about is like, what does that mean for the future of the Sony VR store? Like for the PSVR 2, what is that going to look like? What do you think that's going to look like?
Look, I think they're setting themselves up to be premium VR. But that includes even justifying the cost of their headset. Like, you know, on top of the fact you have to buy a PS5 and you have to buy a VR headset, I think the idea behind that is like, look, you're paying into this because it's going to cost you at least $1,000 wherever you are in the world to play their headset. So make it worth it. Don't just get it and then you get, you know, they mentioned remakes of classics I'm sure we'll see that too, but I think they're really saying, they're saying that they're going to be the next big thing in VR. And I really do see, the PSVR release, breathing new life back into PC VR as well. But I could see them, the impression I get is that I could see Sony going down the Oculus road and really buying up exclusive titles. This is something that we saw Oculus do countless times, where they funded and released games solely for the Oculus platform. And obviously Sony's done the same thing on theirs, but I could see them kind of doubling down, and I could see them leveraging studios, maybe studios they don't even own. You know, we're talking, you know, Capcom with Resident Evil 8 and whatever else they do, and actually like feeding into this thing and under the guise that, look, this is going to be like, everyone... it's, you know, I live in a VR bubble, but everyone, like, VR is not going away. And at some point in time, it's going to explode. And if it explodes next year or the year after that, and Sony is the one that's like, we are offering the best VR experiences we can, and the best VR experiences you can get, and look at what the Quest can do. You know, the Quest has AR capabilities, ooh, but we are putting you back into Killzone. We're bringing back SOCOM. We're doing all these classic games, like, you know, Arashi. I mean, it's not a Sony published game. That game is straight up Tenchu in VR. I would love to have seen it like built like with a bigger budget, bigger team, and made like fully polished. I had a blast with Arashi, but to me, it sounds like they're promising like a revitalization of VR and making sure that we only have. Not only, I'm sure that we're going to see some indie stuff still like trickle through, because I mean, it's the same as the PlayStation. You get one or two big games a month and everything else is kind of just like, you know, these little smaller games. It'll be the same way, and I'm cool with that. But I really expect, instead of us waiting like 6 months in between big VR releases, it sounds like they want like one or two big VR games a month, just to kind of make sure that the attention's always on AAA, and there's always a reason for, you know, like budgetary reasons, you can only buy one or two games, you know, a month. You're buying VR games because they are fucking amazing now. I'm definitely reading in between lines, but
I think you're dead on where Sony's expectations are or where their hopes are. Now, you can only, outside of their first party studios, they can really only, you know, provide so much pressure. I mean, in the past, they've just provided money. Money works too. You bring up an interesting point. I don't want to get too far into it, but you're talking about like premium VR might mean premium headset, premium pricing. I have heard people saying that now that the specs are out, this is not going to be a cheap headset. This is not. Interesting. I was watching an interview over at Eric for President. He had on one of the guys from HTC on there. And he seemed pretty knowledgeable. And he was talking about the fact that they refuse to sell their headset at a loss like Oculus. And he was saying, like, he said that he doesn't think that Oculus's price point is even covering materials.
Yeah, and, we've heard that too.
Right. But he was just like, we won't do that. He's like, we understand that they're making money somewhere else. He's like, we are a hardware manufacturer and we can't lose money on it. He's like, we might break even. Now, I just looked it up. So the Vive Focus 3 is like a $1,300 headset. Sony can't come in at that price, and I don't want to get carried away into this conversation,
but we'll save that for when they announce their price.
I just thought that was an interesting kind of thought around, you know, premium VR. There's some other things that go along with that, like premium pricing. And so that's something, I just wanted to drop as a side note. But I guess the thing that's interesting is that if we look at the Oculus store as a blueprint for what Sony wants their VR store to look like.
That's valid.
And that's valid that they could be going, okay, well, that's the benchmark. Like, we want to curate it. Well, Sony doesn't do that with their traditional games. Like, their main store is still littered with indie.
Yeah.
And I don't mean indie. I don't mean, bleh. I'm not just saying it's instantly crap. I mean, like, the Nintendo Switch is thriving on indies, you know, to the point where they call them nindies. Like, it's even got its own name. But I'm just saying that, like, Sony does not curate their store now, and some of their good games do get lost in the crap. So it's like, I'm just kind of saying, like, I don't know how Sony's going to approach this.
I just think it's just a matter of less. I mean, like I said, we can go back through the years and just see, like, every week, like out of the three or four games that were released, how many are just forgotten because they weren't worth looking at again. I think the goal is to get rid of those. Obviously, we'll still have indie releases. I'm not saying, I mean, the last thing you want is a headset where people are waiting for the next game. You don't want to
But I think what Sony's worried about, and I agree with this, is that they're afraid that someone's going to try a PSVR. Or like a PSVR 2, and they're going to try one of those games that isn't what they want that person's first experience to be.
For sure.
How many times have we seen people pick up new headsets and then they talk about, oh, I bought this game and this game and this game because they were all on sale and cheap. It's like,
no,
that's not really the games you want in your library.
No, and that's all, you know, I come back to even the Quest in general, as you know, I keep saying, I always say, I love the Quest. The Quest is an amazing headset, but it's true, man. You just don't have, you can't get that AAA experience on the Quest. And if you understand VR, if you know VR, you can see that it's a mobile VR headset. It's the same as your mobile phone versus your console. You have to cut some things back, but VR is on such a different level than flat gaming that, you know, like I said, the wrong experience in VR can ruin you for life. I was just talking to the guys from Liv today. And I said the same thing, man. Like, one of my main concerns with my channel and my content is making sure what I put out there, like, it explains what that title is I'm looking at and why it's good or bad. So if anyone goes in there, they can see, like, look, okay, I do understand its shortcomings. And they can adjust that. When you go to the mall and you go on one of those stupid VR pods and this experience is on the lowest resolution screen running at like 20 frames per second, jank as all hell, and you walk out of that being, that's VR? Like, this is where we're at? Like crap. Fuck a Quest. Fuck a PSVR. I'm not... Like, this is... I was in a giant pod. You're telling me the PSVR is better than the giant pod? Like, no way. And it's not the case. So... I do think, I mean, Sony's learned a ton of lessons in the last 5 years. They must have. I hope so. And I assume they're spending money on better things as far as their VR content going forward and leveraging those companies. I mean, like, you know, we've heard the stories about, you know, we've seen developers pull out of VR for obvious reasons. I mean, like, we've only had a handful of big selling VR games, and some of them have taken years to hit 1 million titles sold.
And a lot of, and they're not, and most of them aren't AAA. They're not. On that, you know, I'm just saying, fun fact.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's true. I mean, really, like, are any of them AAA? I mean, none of them, now that I'm thinking about it, are, like, have...
That's I Expect You to Die, dollars. Beat Saber. I mean, I would imagine...
Moss just hit that mark, and Moss is probably the most AAA out of those three.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Sony's had a few titles that have sold very, very well. Resident Evil 7's a tough one to separate, probably, sales from. That's, you know.
Yeah, I think the last numbers I heard was around 700,000 or 800,000 VR users for Resident Evil. That was a while ago too, so I have no idea.
It's just a tough one because its sales are so high, and they're not. That doesn't mean necessarily VR. You know, I've been sitting here thinking though, and I feel like it's probably a pretty good chance that Sony's looking at this, going, "All right, you 4 to 5 million PSVR headset owners, we don't care about you." And I hate to say that, but I'm just saying, it's not like they're going to be like, screw you, we don't want you. They're just like, you know, you're going to buy it. You know, you're going to buy it. A lot of you.
Okay,
a lot of you are probably going to, a lot of you are going to buy this because you bought Turkey Hunter. Like, it's like, they're like, you have bought so much crap and we can see it. You have bought so much content and you love VR. You're not the people that we have to convince. You're going to lose your mind over this. And we know that. And you love games like Beat Saber, and you're content. Like, a lot of you, at least, are maybe not content, but they're still happy and having a lot of fun with those titles. And you're gonna rebuy. They're looking. For sure. They're looking at, what do they have? 200 million PS4s sold. You know, like,
is it that high? It's high.
Anyways, I think it is now.
The last number I heard was 125, but that was months ago. So,
but.
Either way, it's a lot.
Let's just say 100 million plus. They're looking at all those units sold and going, we want you to play VR, because that's where they're at. Remember, we were having that conversation about what we thought the main markets were. I don't even remember who we were talking. We had someone on there, and I said, no, the big market that they want is the people who haven't played VR. That's
for sure.
And I feel like this statement is, we want those people. And so that's a different ball game, because the reason I mention that is because I'm thinking, if you're Sony and that's the market you want, you can't afford right now, at least, to have some of this less than amazing titles in there. These, you know, episode one of three that may never come, and, you know, and games that are still making all the VR mistakes, and, you know, and just, you, they just, no, like, they can't have that crap. They really need to put their best foot forward, so that's what people go, oh, this is what VR, that I can't even talk. This is what VR is now. I mean, that's what they want. They really, really, and I think they know this, they need the PSVR 2 to come out. Of course, PS5 headsets or PS5 owners are going to take another look at it, because they just will, and they'll make up their mind very quickly, like they did before. And yeah, I mean, obviously launch titles are going to be a big deal, but there will be quite a few people who are not early adopters who are just going to be like, I just want to see how the support continues with that. And if they start seeing some of those jankier, crappier, less than titles in the store, it's going to start to, it's the same crap.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just thinking about the Sony's launch, realistically, what's going to happen, and I don't see them making a lot of VR headsets. It obviously depends on how many PS5s are out in the wild, but realistically, if you're still playing your PSVR now, like, and you've been playing consistently for the last 2 to 5 years, you're buying a PSVR at launch. It's just you. Like, more than likely, you already have a PS5 or you are planning getting a PS5 before. Like, I think when the PSVR 2 launches, the only people that are buying it, honestly, are going to be the guys who already play VR, because they're going to be on top of it, making sure they get it first. And depending on how supply is then, if it's anything like the PS5 launch, I think it could be very hard to get a PSVR headset because, you know, like I said, there's 5 million people, 5 million VR headsets sold. I expect a large number of that is probably pretty pumped for PSVR 2. And I could see them, I'll be there. The second they announce how I can get my PSVR 2, I'm going to be ordering and whatever I can do. And I know a lot of the community is like that. Like we are like, this is the PSVR 2 is the answer to so many questions we've had since we got the PSVR 1. And it's all these issues have been fixed. It sounds like all our control problems have gone away. Inside out tracking, all this, like everything that PSVR 1 wasn't, the PSVR 2 sounds like it is. So if you've managed to hold on to this long to your PSVR 1 and still love it, you will be there day one, buying your PS5 and PSVR the same day if you have to, because that's how much they'll be VR. So I imagine the first year is going to be a bit of a rough one. I think there'll be some absolute gems in there for sure, but I think it'll still be Sony kind of figuring out their footing, but relying upon the current PSVR user base to kind of like get it out there. And then once they have a backlog, once they have a bit of a library, once they have some bangers they can knock out of the park, because we've seen launches where it's like confirmed for launch, and then a month for launch, it's like, eh, it's been delayed.
Yeah, so I think Sony can afford to take that stance this time. I think that if every single person, which won't happen, that had bought a PSVR headset, so let's say 5 million headsets, rebought, and that was kind of the user base that bought in the first year-ish, I could see Sony going, we're disappointed. Now, is it unrealistic for them to be disappointed with that? Maybe. I mean, really, when you just look at where the VR market is right now, but I'm going to guess Sony's got some pretty ballsy expectations. And let's be honest, if they really want to stick this landing of trying to get hybrid titles, unless they're willing to pay for all of them out of pocket, they have got to start moving titles.
No, and that could be, it could be nuts. Like I said, even going into the whole hybridization thing, when we're just talking about like just VR ports of God of War, Uncharted, whatever, and there's nothing more than just simple camera ports where now you are the camera and everything's in VR. But now all these AAA games, these non-VR AAA games are playable in VR. That does kind of like, it does give everything more value, right?
It does, but they've got to be. But you're, again, these people that are sitting on the fence waiting, like going, eh, I don't know if VR is there. I don't think that's going to convince them. I don't think being able to like look around their Uncharted world is going to be enough to like get them off their couches in front of their big screen TVs. I don't
know, but if assuming they're all cross compatible, it does incentivize it for down the road.
It incentivizes it. Yeah, of course. And we're going to be happy about it. But the conversation that came up on Twitter around this was, is it good for VR though, really? Because they were saying, like, you know, the best VR titles, as far as the ones that we talk about, the ones that resonate and that make our top lists, with the exception of a few titles like, say, Resident Evil or something, are games that were made for VR. And, you know, like, they're not, you know, they're not the quick ports, you know, like, you don't see. Always Hellblade. You don't see
Hellblade was my
But you don't see Hellblade making those lists. It's a beautiful game. It's amazing in VR to take it in that perspective. But it's not genre defining. It's not VR defining. It's
damn good. I don't want to say you're besmirching the good name of Hellblade in VR.
I'm not besmirching it.
I really like it's kind of mind-blowing. There's some cool moments in that game that feel kind of built for VR. And, you know, I played stuff like Theseus. It was built for VR. It was the same kind of experience as Hellblade. So one was built for VR, and that was the design of the game. It was built like that. The other one was ported. And honestly, like, I mean, I think Hellblade's kind of the exception to what you're talking about. Honestly, like, Hellblade's,
here's the thing. I'm not slamming it, and I'm not saying it's not awesome. I'm not saying it doesn't look cool. I'm saying, is it enough to be able to take to take VR to the next level? Like, is it going to be enough to truly move the needle? I mean,
yes,
it's a value proposition. It adds value to buying a headset.
Well, yeah. And imagine getting a PSVR and then all of a sudden, like, half your library of PS5 games is playable in VR. So now you buy your PSVR headset and you already own 20 AAA VR games because you bought them. You bought God of War before you bought a VR headset. You bought Uncharted before you bought a VR headset. You bought all these things that have a VR mode or a promised VR mode. And this is all obviously theoretical here. So when you buy that PSVR headset, even though, you know, there may only be one or two like made for VR games that are like grabbing you, but you can just manually just switch and go play Uncharted without leaving the headset. And as it turns out, being in the world of Uncharted is actually pretty fucking cool. And then,
this brings up the conversation though. Is it enough for them to just give us Uncharted in a third person's perspective? Or should the pressure be on them to go, no, we want a VR version of Uncharted 4. Like, go in and No Man's Sky it. And No Man's Sky is a really good example of a studio that took a step back and really did redesign a lot of the controls and the systems to feel like a made-for-VR game that does not feel like a game that was just ported to VR. Like Resident Evil 7. Resident Evil 7 feels like a game ported to VR.
For sure. I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to, like, process what Uncharted would be like in VR, because Uncharted is a very... It's an insane game. It's a game where you need to have that third-person camera because you are reacting to the environment happening around you. And putting that in the first person, I think it changes the core gameplay.
It does.
You have to slow things down, and I think when you do that, you're now changing the game. So if Uncharted VR, the Uncharted VR, is this first-person experience where you can do this with your hands and it's all pretty, but you're now, like, having to, like, pump your arms to run and trying to, like, keep an eye on everything. I don't know if putting that camera into you like that, I think it kind of breaks the game. I don't know.
I agree with you. But this is my point. I agree with you.
This is the conversation. I'm allowed to talk.
Yeah, no. No, I'm saying I 100% agree with you. I don't think it would port very well if you were to just try to first person.
But then that's what we're talking. So then, I mean,
so that's the question, though. Do you just give it the third person treatment because we know that would work? Or are we setting a kind of crappy precedent that that we're going to end up into this, like, weird kind of like coasting premium VR where you get, like, you get to sit in it in VR, but no one's taking the effort to say, make Uncharted VR.
Sure, but I mean, we're specifically a third person genre into VR. But we start factoring in first person shooters and shit like that. You know, when Borderlands 5 comes out, or 4, whatever the hell number they're on, and that's just built for VR because it's a first person game. Well, then it's just, now that we're talking about, like, third person games in VR, and that's fine. Like, the last thing I want to see is God of War in VR, and it just feels just like Assassin's Creed in VR. Let's go to Assassin's Creed VR. And I'm, like, teleporting, you know, Arashi. Yeah. Arashi is kind of fun. You jump from building to building. It's got this teleport mechanic. It's fun. But
does that work with Tomb Raider? And that's not going to win over non-VR gamers.
Like, I understand why it's there. There isn't a better way to do jumping in VR, really. But when you're trying to, like, you know, Tomb Raider and have her jump across these gaps and all this stuff, and you're just, like, press X to teleport jump, it doesn't really work. And... you know, obviously you can still put in the actual jumping and running, but I just think with those third person, with those high action third person games, I think those should probably just stick with third person.
Agreed. Because, like, Assassin's Creed, I'm like, I don't want to climb in VR for 6 hours.
Just, oh my God.
I know there are people who do. And you know who they are? They're the Township Tale people. What do you mean you don't want to pick grass for fucking 5 hours? You got to put in the work, you pussy. You're just lazy. It's like, I don't want to. I mean, but that is the middle ground. It's like, do I want to climb ancient Greece structures? Hell yeah, I do. That's amazing. But I don't want to do it in the same style that the core games were.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to tap X than it is to, like, sit there and manually grab every handhold.
Do I want an Assassin's Creed VR game? I really, really do. We're going to get it. And I think that they're probably dealing with these same issues of, like, yeah, but an Assassin's Creed VR game if it's going to be made for VR, just has to be slightly different. It just has to be. Because you just don't want to do the same. I don't want to do that same experience. The other thing that comes up is we talk about, like, Borderlands 3, perfect example. I mean, we played it in Borderlands 2, and with analog sticks on the controllers and stuff, it's going to port so well. It's going to be so awesome. That would be such a great game to play in VR. All they'd have to do would be like make maybe minor adjustments to just make the gameplay work better. Maybe not bombard you with as many guys because you just can't turn as fast. Where I start to have questions is like, okay, so the next Call of Duty comes out and Sony's applied a lot of pressure and they're like, and you can play it in VR day one. Go head to head against players on their PC and people on their console. You're going to get your ass kicked because you're going to be going up against 16-year-olds with mouse and keyboards.
With mouse and keyboard. But I could totally see there. I mean, it's the same thing they do now where if you're playing on console, you can select the option, like play without, don't play with console player without PC. So if you get Call of Duty, it'll just be, play VR only or play without VR.
Which is
And unless you're going to play with friends, you're going to play in VR because it's that barrier of entry. Now that you have to manually aim down your sights as opposed to, versus X and friggin' and the S button. Like you have no chance of winning at that. And then
don't get me wrong. I think there's people in VR that would start to destroy.
Oh yeah. Get good for sure. Getting good is an actual
gamers,
thing. Yeah.
Especially console gamers because they're already using auto aim assist and stuff. And they're already I would say that someone really good in VR could actually probably beat someone on a controller.
I'd say at least
average players on controllers.
Yeah.
But the PC is a wild card. And you're right. But then it's like, do you have the player base to let people isolate themselves to just VR? And what happens if you say VR only and you end up in a lobby with 10 people looking at each other? Like Sony doesn't want that.
No.
I just think these are really interesting questions.
Because they're
the realities of what Sony is talking about. So it's a mental exercise.
They're new VR obstacles. And we've overcome, over the last 5 years, these new headsets have answered a lot of questions that we had about what VR is. I always remember, I'll go back to the first Christmas that was that Super Stats, whatever that stupid stats that gets everything wrong. Like Sony sold 2 million headsets in their first year. And then, of course, actual numbers came out and it was more 250,000. It was a million headsets and it sold a quarter of that. Whatever the number was, it was crazy low. But I think there's a lot of, it's expectation versus reality. And I think everybody's pretty much learned that VR is not going to just fly off the shelves.
Well, like we were saying, Sony's hopefully learned I think their expectations are in check.
Yeah. I think so. And,
the thing is we've talked a lot about Grand Theft Auto in VR. I think we're going to get a Grand Theft Auto in VR. It might be Grand Theft Auto 3 remastered. I've heard some talk about that.
I really hope it's not 3. 3 is not aged well at all. Is not a good game.
I think it's amazing.
It's a revolutionary. It was a revolutionary game, but that franchise has grown so beyond 3 that re-releasing 3 in or out of VR just seems like you guys have certainly come a long way. To me, 3 seems like a really poor idea.
It depends on how remastered it is.
Unless they go back and actually add in it's a full remaster where it's basically GTA 3 on the GT 5 engine. Sure. Then we have a conversation. I'm just worried about them. So GTA 3 it's rough.
Cause the only thing I was thinking about this since our last conversation, as much as I would like sell my dog to play Grand Theft Auto 5 in VR. There is the aspect of the Grand Theft Auto Online in VR, which personally is actually the only thing I have any interest in playing. But that opens up its own can of worms, just like we talked about with Call of Duty, of just the logistics around someone mentioned, all the animations and all the things you'd have to take into account now of people being in VR. If anyone was going to do it, it would be Rockstar. And I think it would add an entire new lifespan to Grand Theft Auto of people being able to go in there and then just do finger fit. Just that alone. Just people would just go in there and just mess with each other and just do hand signs. It would be like VR chat in Grand Theft Auto. Like it would just, get a haptic vest on. Oh my God. Like full body tracking in Grand Theft Auto on PC or something. Like I'm just saying it's easy to see something like that being a huge success if ported. And if that's what Sony's talking about, we're not talking about just pushing every game that's a AAA game to have a hybrid. It has to make sense. Okay. That's a little bit different. I mean, I'll give you an example of an easy win. I would say two easy wins. One, Gran Turismo 7, guaranteed VR. I don't care what, like, I mean, you can't, anyone who bets against that's an idiot. It's totally going to happen.
I totally agree with that.
And I think I wouldn't be shocked to see it be a launch title, even though it was supposed to be a launch title on the PSVR too. But regardless, I think the other big guarantee will be, we know that Sony's doubling down on Astrobot development, with Asobi getting like a lot of resources to keep making those games. I could totally see an Astrobot game that was VR and non.
Mm-hmm.
And they just it so that, like, in standard VR, the world kind of moved, or in standard, on standard TV, the world kind of moved around you, and then in things like that, whereas you moved through the world in VR. Like, I could see them kind of tweaking it so that it worked both ways.
Yeah. No, I mean, I that makes perfect sense. You know, it really, we don't know. We, like, that's the unfortunate thing is we don't know, and we're just saying what they should be doing. It's hard to gauge. I mean, you know, it comes back down to price point too. I mean, like I said, factoring in the price of a PS5 plus that headset, you know, I have to assume, like, you know, could you imagine if you didn't have like a PS4 or a PSVR 1? And like, would you go back in time if you didn't, like, knowing what you know now, like the PSVR 1 launch and the cost of entry there? Because that was what? PS4 was what, $500 for us?
Because would I pay a grand Canadian basically to get into VR? Is that what
I think it was more than, because I think I remember paying like $700 for like the PSVR and like the games and shit like that.
I don't remember.
I remember paying a lot.
I think it was six. I think it was six.
Yeah, so we're,
six,
yeah, like over a grand for PSVR 1, and there were some cool launch experiences, but is it worth $1,000 then? I say it wasn't. I mean, as much as VR changed my life, looking back, it was kind of shitty. I mean, it was the launch of a whole new medium, so obviously that's to be expected, and obviously time and hindsight, you know, make this a lot easier to say, but, you know, the quality of games that we've gotten, that we got then to now, it's dramatic, and to say, like, if VR didn't change me, the average Joe who's just like, yeah, I'm passing interest in VR, $1,000, that's a big ask, man. So I think I'd
pay $1,000. I think I would pay $1,000 to play like Drive Club as shitty as it was, and Eve Valkyrie, and to have those first experiences, and the amount of fun that I had having friends over and playing like Rush of Blood and putting them in the kitchen demo and VR Worlds, you know, I think I would pay $1,000 for that, but I think
me and you are a little more exceptions to the right, and that's what I'm saying, two enthusiasts. Right? But that's what I'm saying. So outside of us, like outside of the fact, like I said, VR changed my life. Like you still game outside of VR. I typically don't. Like VR has consumed me. Well, but that doesn't change anything. I could easily game on a TV upstairs. I choose to play a crappy VR game over playing a premium flat game. These are the choices I've made. Like, I'm just hardcore like that when it comes to VR. But for the average person who now is expected to drop $500+ on the PS5 and then double that, probably at the very minimum, for a PSVR, it's got to have a powerful launch. It's got to have some fucking bangers, man. And I don't just mean like, oh yeah, we got Super Hot 2 and we've got Moss Book 2. I mean like outside of VR, franchises that we know that are full games, not the Batman Arkham trash that we got. Sorry, Rocksteady, it's fine experience, but it's just not.
It's a giant cock tease. It totally was.
And we got a lot of that, you know, the Tomb Raider experience, the Call of Duty experience, you know, all these little slapped on franchise things we got at the beginning that were nothing more than barely experiences or, you know, shallow experiences. As much like I enjoyed the Tomb Raider game, but it wasn't Tomb Raider at all. Like they slapped the label on there. You played as Lara Croft going through a mansion, but you were just reading notes and walking through a house.
Ryan.
There's nothing to do with Tomb Raider.
Yes.
You didn't have a body in that game, so shut your mouth, Chris.
Yes. I wasn't going to say that. I was more going to talk about your Lara Croft comment. But here's my question to you. We'll bring it full circle. We're kind of coming near the end here. Let's say you're Sony. You've got your brand new PSVR 2 store, and you're looking at your
and it's fully in VR.
Yep, exists totally with the whole like.
Yep. Oh, so good.
Do you let Arashi into your storefront?
Arashi's close.
Of course, it's got the higher resolution. It's got
I was actually going to say it's been
but it's the same game basically, PS5? With the exception of analog sticks and you know, is it what you want in your store?
I think Arashi would make my cut.
I agree.
But
not that might be the bar.
That's what I'm saying. As I think that's kind of where the bar. I was going to say thing. It's like the lower. That's the lower end of what I want to see in that store, yep. At least the launch. And like I said, I don't want to sit here and like crap on indie games. There's some.
I'm not crapping against them. I mean, we know what they're working with.
I know you're not crapping either. But I think there is that quality line that we need to really put. You know, there has to be a big filter on that, especially if, in my opinion, Sony needs to really double down on that and be like, this is where you come for the fucking good shit. So I'm just end of the episode. I just mouth off. But this is where you come for the best VR experiences you can get. This is why you buy this headset. This is why it's worth the cost of a PS5. This is why it's worth the cost of a PSVR headset, because we deliver bangers. We have, PC doesn't have, because we've paid for the rights. Quest can't even hope to run. You come to the Sony headset because we have what no one else does.
I agree.
And it's mind blowing. Yep. And as long as you do that, but you can get around that. It's that same as not really the same, but you know, the quality of Nintendo games and what they do as far as like just how refined they are. Like Nintendo, like their entire, everything they have is like reliant upon those core franchises they own. But those franchises are also always mint. They always knock out of the park. Very little issues. Like there's no jank. You know, obviously there's some here and there. I'm not, you know, nothing's perfect, but yep, you know,
Nintendo's got their standards. Everything must be kitty and substandard to make our store.
Yeah. My point being though, is that Sony needs to really up that standard for VR. And, you know, it sucks if some games get left in the dust, but there's just, you know, a quality and, you know, I've defended gameplay.
Yeah.
Look, I've defended gameplay in VR for the last 5 years, and there's games that look like absolute trash that have fun, like awesome gameplay. But I think we're at a point now where you got to have both. You can't have solid bones, but look like garbage. You have to have an all around great package to make it worth the headset. Like you can't just be to the top has some absolutely fun, awesome gameplay. It doesn't look great.
It doesn't. It doesn't show well. And I think Sony and VR in general is now getting into a place where they have to play a perception game. And it's not always fair, but because there are some amazing titles that we've played that we love. Quarix, seriously, top 10. But I'm telling you, I love Quarix. I'm not even lying. Quarix would not make my PS5 store.
No, it couldn't.
But I would be so unhappy if I didn't get to play. What about Battlezone? It's like, you know, like by all intents and purposes, wouldn't make the cut. It might, because it had an art style that was very intentional. Otherwise, the art style was a super, super polished game. But I'm just saying, what I would love to see, and I think this will probably be the last thing I have to say on this, unless you end up poking something else in me, is I think Sony should look at not that type of poking. Dirtiness. I mean, as far, you're just gonna get me going on another topic.
I didn't say it. You did.
You were the one smirking away there. You just filthy.
I'm always smirking away
because I'm so funny and witty. And okay. Anyways, what I was getting at was I think Sony should look at adopting an approach like Oculus. No, I mean, in all fairness, Oculus did not. SideQuest was not their thing. It's something they just like didn't shut down.
And they have App Lab now too.
And they were kind of like, well, we want to make money off of those. Yeah. So, you know, so that's kind of why I think App Lab happened. I think Sony needs to get ahead of that whole thing. And what I think Sony needs to do is maybe have two storefronts. A storefront within a storefront.
They won't do it though.
I know they won't. But it would be awesome if they did have like, like an early access corner. Or something, because this goes back to my a point I've made on many, many episodes, is that I think it sucks that for developers in VR and non, that when it comes to consoles and also with, say, Oculus's closed storefront, you're either on the storefront or you're not. There's no, we're in early access. You can't, and so it's an expectation thing. And there's a lot of games that we got on the PSVR that on PC are early access. And yet they come to PSVR and they just look like unfinished crap. It's like, no, but they're early access and these developers can't communicate that. I think Sony needs to take that next step to console gaming.
But they shouldn't be there. I mean, like, I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think we need that on Sony. It makes it messy. Even installing stuff from App Lab, and you get that message, just so you know, this game's actually on App Lab and we don't guarantee the quality. Blah, 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 blah. And it has to be the same thing. I don't want to see that. I
don't either. But it's like you either have to not allow it, and then we risk some gems not seeing the light of day, or you find some way to let those people reach you instead of people having to sideload it and stuff like that. Because, I mean, that'll happen on Sony if they try doing that. Someone will find a way to sideload apps. I just think I would love to see consoles adopt. I mean, Xbox kind of has. But I would love to see them adopt a full-on, like, an early access title, at least. Even at a minimum, that the store got a very clear label that it was an early access title.
No. I don't want it.
Sony approved.
Nope. I don't want it. I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I really think that they need to buckle down hard on quality. I don't want any exceptions. I think right now, as far as my Sony PSVR2 headset goes, I don't want to have exceptions to the quality rule because of workarounds, because now, you look, want to play everything.
You realize that even though you're on the box art, Squishy's not going to make the store.
You shut your mouth. No, Squishy's won't make the store. Are you kidding me? Half the games I've made box art for won't make the store. I'm not saying which ones, though, besides Squishy's, apparently. But no, it's just, I just think, you know, looking, you know, with hindsight, looking back at just the mess we have, I don't want to see that repeat. And just seeing the Steam store and how much of a mess that can be. Oh, yeah. And then now with Oculus and SideQuest, like, when I get hit up from developers, we're like, oh, our game is available here. It's, you know, not complete yet, but we have the demo level out. You can, I don't want it on my Sony. I want finished games. Like, I'm sorry. It sucks. Like, I'm sorry to the developer teams who are just like, we need the money. We need these funds to get this on here.
But you're not helping VR. You're hurting it doing it.
At this point now, everyone should kind of know the market. So if you're committing yourselves to this VR game for whatever reason, and you don't have the money for it, well, either get the money or don't do it. Because to sit there and rely on the community to, like, help you when you can't do it yourself, it's just tough now. Because we've been doing it for years now, and we've seen so many games not pay off.
Kickstart it and come at it prepared.
Something, but I'm standing my ground here. I don't want to see App Lab content on the Sony store. I want to see finished, bigger AAA experiences that only the PSVR can do, and obviously, I guess PCR, you know, PCVR, because obviously it's more powerful. But I want to see PSVR being like, no one else can do this. I don't want to see Squishies 2 on there.
Fair enough.
Sorry, Squishies. I'm so sorry, Squishies. I don't know. I mean, it's not a terrible game.
You're not sorry.
It's perfectly fine. I'm not trying to throw it under the bus here. Like, there's just, you know, like I said, I'm done with it. I don't want to see the IndyCar. I don't want to see another job simulator game on there. I don't mean actual job simulator, the franchise, but just the job sim genre as a whole.
I don't want another job simulator.
Look, I kind of agree. But I mean, it's the same thing. You know, to me, I've done that. And VR's moved on. And I understand that they'll be selling to new users. And there's going to be, they said, these remasters of VR classics are coming too. And hopefully that kind of fills the void as far as, like, you know, all the mistakes that were made, all the stuff that we got in the last 5 years. Let's just remaster a few of those, let them play that, and we'll move on. Let's move on to what VR... It's why we bought VR. We bought VR for the power, to be in other realities. And... you know, when you're looking at visuals like Sam and Max, so that's a really terrible example, the climb, and you just see all these shortcuts and all these things that remove you from being in that reality. I want to be there. I don't want to see a big giant JPEG in the background of my game. I want to see an endless world. I want to be in that world. And we're at a point now where these games have the power to do that. So let's do that. Let's maximize the power and show everyone what VR is all about.
Well, I think the important thing to note is that, like you said, you are an enthusiast. You are the you are these first day adopters. And if that's how you're feeling, then you can imagine how the people who are like, nah, I don't even know if VR's ready yet. You can imagine how they're feeling. Like, they definitely want to see it. I'm just afraid that there are games that are going to get, like, I don't want it to be where it's all got to be premium, like AAA stuff on the store, where it doesn't make it. Like, there's a lot, because indies are the ones that are innovating.
For sure. And
there's a level of quality that they need to meet. I agree with you on that.
No, and that's what I mean too. Like, I'm not saying just like ban anything not made by a studio owned by Sony, but I do want the quality bar raised, and I don't want to see half-built games. I don't want to see anything that's in early access ported to VR and released as a full game when it's not. I want to see, at the very least, fully released games, but like, I just have a level of polish that's better than, you know, just some of the stuff we've gotten. Like, you know, it shouldn't look like a Quest game.
I don't know what else to say. That's where it's at. I mean, I think Sony wants to play it that way, where the Quest will be like the Gear VR in comparison. And that's fine. I mean, it has its own place, and standalone is going to grow too. But I think the one thing that no one's really talking about is how we can't afford to see the PSVR 2 fail.
No.
If it does fail, then it's pretty much going to be the standalone. Facebook show.
Yeah.
And PC will pick up. Will get like the droppings that they can. But I don't see PC VR ever taking off. I'm sorry, guys, but it's just like when you know the Steam Deck, that type of stuff. The future around that's going to help Steam, like as far as Steam VR goes. But as far as PCs, like $1,000 to $2,000 to $4,000 PCs sitting on your desks, it's just not. It's never going to be mass adopted. The barrier to entry is too high, especially when you see people bitching all over the place about like a price of a PS5.
If PSVR 2 dies, premium VR experiences or games die with it.
I don't know. I don't agree that it dies. It just
gets kicked in the dick really hard multiple times.
It gets thrown back. It just gets thrown back, and you'll just have to wait for standalone to get there, which it's going to get there quicker than we think, I think, with some of those technologies. But there's just, I think that's the ending note on this, is that it's just very, I'm very passionate about how Sony's going to play this, because there's a lot riding on them.
Yep. I totally agree. And like I said, I'll be there day one, man. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. Like, this is, I've been waiting for this for years, and you know, I've gotten taste of it on PC, as far as like the AAA stuff, and I really want to see what Sony brings to the table. I really, really, really do. They better not screw up.
So those of you watching this or listening to this, leave a comment, guys. I'd love to know what you think. Where do you stand on this? Are you more on my side of the fence, where you think that Sony needs to find some way to kind of curate it so that early access titles do still have some kind of a voice, or are you more on Ryan's side of things, where it's just like, nope, like the wall is up and it needs to be, you know, a certain level of quality, or else it just doesn't make it. I don't actually totally disagree with Ryan's stance on that either. I'm afraid that we're going to miss out on some real innovation if we don't keep the door open a little bit. But I want to know what you guys think about that. If there's any developers out there watching this, and we know you do watch some of this, I'd really like to hear from you.
Right?
I would love to know what you think around that, because I'm sure that's got to be a bit of a shot in the dick too, depending on what side of that conversation you're on. So weigh in on that, guys. That'd be really great. Even if you just email me, I actually want to know.
I know, right?
So anyways, guys, thanks for watching. Subscribe, comment, you know the deal. And we also have a Patreon for you guys if you'd like to support the channel a little bit more. We really appreciate that.
We've got one more spot available for someone who gets monthly free games. It's our highest tier. After that, we're cutting it off. And we give away bangers, man. That $10, you get more than that back every month. After that, we're kind of locking it down just to make sure we can control that. So we have Spacer One. Otherwise, early access episodes, bonus episodes. There's still other content out there for sure. So, I mean, check it out, guys. If you like our content, I mean, any support helps. It makes us better. You can see Chug's new mic there. You guys help pay for that mic. So, hey, it's, you know, we're investing in this to give back to you to make this better.
We were having audio issues that had to go away. Needed something a little more reliable for the podcast. I use this, guys. You've seen this one here for review content. But when it comes to just like talking, this helps. Plus, it's much easier for someone to go like this.
Oh, I love this part of the episode.
I know. That's what I thought. I'm going to give him a little button on his side of things. Guys, thanks for watching. Support. The support that you guys give is amazing. We've seen the channel growing over the last few weeks, and that's really nice to see. Love the comments. Love the community. Thanks again, guys, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Woo! Fuck down your tail. Bye.